best way to get you going. This is VOC Breakfast with Gulam Fakir and Sabira Sheikh Yasser, only on the Voice of the Cape.
So 7:33 is where we're at this morning, and we're moving along to our next feature, of course, in keeping with to the theme of speaking about gender-based violence this morning. Now, proper support for victims of gender-based violence remains a challenge in South Africa. The University of Cape Town's Office for Inclusivity and Change has joined forces with Rape Crisis to strengthen the support services to survivors of sexual offences. But joining us online this morning is Dr. Cyan Alves, Director at UCT's Office for Inclusivity and Change, chatting to us now. Dr. Cyan, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Sabira and Gulam, and good morning to your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Only a pleasure. So, of course, we're finding ourselves, you know, at the beginning of the 16 days of activism. Perhaps chatting to us in terms of, you know, with regards to your department and this partnership, what exactly does it entail with Rape Crisis?
Sure, thank you. Yeah, such partnership is incredibly important to the university. We see Rape Crisis as the expert in the provision of services to survivors of gender-based violence. And for UCT, it made sense that we need to learn and adapt our services to provide better support to survivors at UCT. And so this partnership with Rape Crisis has helped inform the university's survivor-centered approaches, which includes strengthened counseling, debriefing, and containment therapies for our survivors. And it's also so important for the students, staff, and parents to know that from the moment of letting someone know that an incident has happened, that the university would be able to activate relevant and empathic services for survivors. And so Rape Crisis has been very useful in this regard.
Now, you know, in terms of those operational changes, you know, what exactly will be implemented?
Yes, so at the operational level, we've instituted three significant changes. The first step was for UCT to step back and listen to what the survivors needed and change our systems to meet the needs. And this resulted in an online tool which makes services and support much more accessible to survivors at the click of a button. And secondly, we established a specialized tribunal to ensure that from a quality and assurance perspective, survivors experience a seamless end-to-end service that prioritizes firstly their voice and their needs from the time of reporting through to the end of a legal process. And lastly, we wanted to focus on outcomes and ensure that the survivors that do bravely step forward and who choose a disciplinary or legal process find justice, authentic justice, in the outcomes that they seek within the university.
And then also, if I can come in, you know, with Sabira, if we look at, you know, I read through the press statement, and we see names, for example, like Yumna Sidat and so forth. But before we get into that, you know, how does the Ad Hoc Tribunal on Sexual Misconduct ensure sort of that survivors get the necessary assistance that they need?
Yes, so the Ad Hoc Tribunal was established in 2019. And through this tribunal, we now have a very focused approach with matters of gender-based violence. The tribunal is comprised of specialist team of lawyers who are trained to provide empathic legal support to survivors through the disciplinary process. And I must clarify that the tribunal also ensures a fair process is provided to respondents in matters of gender-based violence. By having a dedicated tribunal that focuses solely on gender-based violence cases, we not only expedite the cases through the disciplinary system, but we're also providing empathic support throughout that legal process. And so this means that survivors do not have to wait for lengthy periods of time for their cases to be reviewed by the university. And I think the whole principle surrounding the establishment of the Ad Hoc Tribunal is to recognize that it takes a lot of courage to step forward, to share these painful instances. And we needed to do what we can from our side as a university to enable the survivors to continue through the process, to complete the process, but most importantly, to trust the tribunal and the process within it.
Now, Doc, you know, how in essence, you know, is the OIC encouraging those victims to seek this legal recourse?
Sure. So firstly, actually in two ways, and maybe I can just connect to Gulam's query about the name Yumna Sadat.
Yeah.
He's an incredible resource that has joined us from Red Crisis. And he has been vital in providing a safe space for survivors to firstly set their own pace. And what I mean by this is that we need to respect that the survivor needs their own time to reflect about potential avenues of finding justice. And so Yumna helps survivors think through different scenarios and different outcomes that may be reached. And secondly, when the survivor decides to use either an external legal route or the university process, then she manages that process with the survivor by providing further debriefing and containment so that really the survivor feels held and supported throughout the process. Maybe I can touch on the external route. If a survivor, for example, wants to choose a legal route external to the university, then the OIC has established partnerships with the Specialized Family and Sexual Violence Unit within the South African Police Service and has an established relationship also with the advocates in the sexual violence court. And we work together to provide advice and guidance and support to survivors. And with these trusted partners and staff and in the sexual violence court, we are now connected broadly to services in the province. And of course, Yumna continues to provide a seamless service of debriefing and containment, even when the matter is happening, is being seen or presided over external to the university process. And once again, this kind of containment and counseling and debriefing is so important to help survivors complete the process, trust the process, and all change, feel okay if they need to change their mind and not remain within the process.
And then finally, you know, the murder of UCT student, we alluded to a little earlier on, Doc, you know, Uyinene was certainly a turning point in the fight against gender-based violence in South Africa. But do you think, you know, there's been a shift in terms of how the student community deals with gender-based violence and those conversations around this? And how can that then, you know, sort of penetrate through the greater community as well?
Yeah, thank you for that question. The loss of Uyinene, I really feel, amplified the multiple calls for meaningful action against gender-based violence. This student activism, particularly the Fallist movement, really highlighted our failings as a university. And it helped the university in redefining how to better support our staff and students. And so these forms of agency and activism coming from the students, coming from our youth as well as our activist community organizations, they often offer solutions that can produce meaningful change. And, you know, Sabir and Gulam, I think what we're hearing in public media these days is that as we approach 16 days of activism, we really need to hear the call for meaningful and constructive action by all spheres of society. And there is a significant call for less talk and more constructive action.
And that's where we're going to have to leave it, Dr. Sian Alves, the director at UCT's Office for Inclusivity and Change. I appreciate your time this morning on Breakfast 91.3 FM, and all of the very best.
Thank you to you all. Thank you.
Thank you.